welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 589, July 20th, 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly podcast in honor of Steve Faub is brought to you by Marilyn McCoo and the Fifth Dimension. One less bell to answer.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Bruno Senna receives the Bandini Award. Seriously? Hamilton looks to stay at McLaren. Will Schumacher be back for 2013? It certainly looks like it. And the German Grand Prix looks to be a fantastic race this weekend. And of course, we've got Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi. And I want to remind our listeners, this weekend's special podcast number 590 is with Rene Whistle. Am I close?
Rene Whistle.
My apologies. And of course, he used to drive for Gold Leaf Lotus in Marlboro BRM.
And he was on the podium in his very first race in upstate New York.
Keep up the good work, Nass. And welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Good to be here. How is you?
I'm wonderful. I have to admit, I've had a couple of computers melt down, but other than that, I'm doing okay. And of course, we have a great race at Hockenheim. But I want to talk about this Bandini Award real quickly.
Why? What's your cow with this award and Bruno Senna getting it?
Well, I want to throw in a caution, because last week both of us were talking about maybe Bruno Senna getting replaced by Valtteri Bottas.
Right.
Valtteri in the press lately saying he's ready for F1. He feels machismo. Bruno Senna, what has he done to deserve this Bandini Award?
Well, you know, first of all, this is not, from what I know, it's not given for, it's not a performance-based award. It's basically given for good sportsmanship, stuff like that.
So are you telling me that Pastor Maldonado will not get the Bandini Award next year?
Well, it depends on how he does next year, but probably not, the way he's going this year. But Pastor Maldonado does a lot of good things for his people and, you know, kids
does.
In Venezuela. So he's not all that bad. He's just a little hyperactive when he's near Felipe Massa and Lewis Hamilton. So, you know, this award, Bandini Award, is given in memory of Lorenzo Bandini. And it's given for good sportsmanship. And Bruno Senna is a very nice kid. I've met him a couple of times. To be so down-to-earth and humble with that last name, I'm very impressed. Let me just put it this way to you. And so it's good for him.
Okay, so I may be jumping to conclusions, and maybe I'm just jealous and bitter inside.
Well, you know, you'll be excited if this was given to Charles Pic or Michel Mouton.
I understand, or Romain Grosjean.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or even Patrick Carpentier, anybody who has a French name.
I know, I am biased, but that makes the show that much more exciting. There you have it.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's move on to Lewis Hamilton before we talk about the German Grand Prix. He says that he would feel abnormal, not whole, not one. I think McLaren is now part of his zen.
Well, you know, Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen, and Juan Pablo Montoya, as naturally gifted as you can get. But I'm very, as a racing fan, I'm disappointed in how they have delivered the overall package. You know, I mean, you must have seen, it was on the F1 Weekly website, how he was partying and what kind of people he had. And, you know, it's his life. It's none of my business. But if you're in such a high-profile environment, your engine supplier is Mercedes. We all know what kind of an operation Ron Dennis operates. It's very disappointing. You know, I saw a picture of him wearing a red hoodie. Again, nothing wrong with that. With red eyes at the Gatwick Airport, catching his private jet to Switzerland or wherever he was going. It's, you know, maybe they can learn a lesson from people like Niki Lauda, Michael Schumacher, Ayrton Senna. I mean, if you have that much talent, you know, you can do a little bit better. But that's just moi, as you would say.
I think he's been hanging around the L.A. crowd.
That's the problem. And you know what? He really, as talented as he is, you know, there's a limit most companies and most team owners will put up to. Because no matter how good you are, if you don't have, as Sebastian Vettel is finding out, if you don't have a complete package, there are no 3-4 races in a row victory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the point I was going to bring up, is the flip of the coin would be, does McLaren want to sign Lewis Hamilton, even though I know he's been part of La Familia since birth, practically?
Let's just put it this way. If they have a car, and it's no dissing on Lewis Hamilton, if they have a car that is as competitive as what Red Bull had last year, there are many drivers who will win many races. Romain Grosjean, Valtteri Bottas, none though, but he's not coming back, but he, you know, he's going to win races. So there is no such thing as only game in town.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. Quickly, let's talk about Michael Schumacher. He hasn't signed for 2013, but it's in the bag. He could pretty much write his own ticket at Mercedes. But on the other hand, a lot of people are going, you know what, if he retires, this is opening up a seat for some young people like Paul DeRista, Nico Hülkenberg. And should Schumacher be bogarting this long career? I mean, is he staying too long in Formula One when some of these seats should be opened up for younger and newer talent?
I think he should buy a mansion in Key Largo.
I like Key Largo.
Then he can bogarting all he wants.
But don't you think he's going to be back? It looks like it.
And I think, you know, to me, he has not become a novelty like Danica Patrick, but with a lot of success on the resume. And, you know, he has nothing to prove. I mean, we all know that. What will another pole position or another Grand Prix victory do for him, you know? He has all the money. But I would like to see him retire peacefully, gracefully, in good health. And I for sure would like to see some young kid jump into that seat.
Yeah, no, I think, I to be honest with you, I enjoy watching Michael Schumacher show us that you can still be up there in age and perform. I think it's great for our manhood and our virility, and I'm happy for him. But on the other hand, I would like to see a Paul DeRista get a decent car so the package could come together for him.
Yeah, and you know, Paul DeRista moves there. There's an opening at Force India. We have a lot of, I would like to see a young guy. You know, there are several guys. I mean, whether you take Jules Bianchi, Sam Bird, Alexander Rossi, Robert Wickens from Canada, who I think is very talented and beat Jean-Eric Vergne in the World Series by Renault. I would like to see a young gun thrown into the deep end of Formula One and see how they will survive, if they can swim or succeed.
I agree. And this season has been disappointing for two of our young guns. That would be Jean-Eric Vergne.
Yeah, but this is just the first half of the first season. I mean, the thing is, you know, if you are quick, then you need to be given at least two seasons.
Okay, that's the rule.
That should be in this day and age with all the Pirelli lottery and all that. No, you know, lack of testing for these guys. Everybody now saying is GP2 is a two-year program, and it's very hard, as people are finding out, to win.
It is.
Even in your second season. So I think in Formula One, they should have at least give people, and not two seasons like Nelson Piquet, where somebody's telling you, hey, you need to out-qualify Nando or I'm going to fire you.
Yeah.
That's not going to work, you know.
No, I agree. And let's, you know, look at a good example is how Romain Grosjean performed when he was first in Formula One with Renault and Flavio. And the difference now, having been re-energized, he really wasn't ready.
Yeah. Well, you know, all these drivers who are in Formula, they are very good. I mean,
Absolutely. You look at
Heikki Kovalainen. He was with Renault. He struggled. Okay, no problem. Nando was the teammate. Not easy guy to beat. Then he was nowhere with the Lewis Hamilton for a year or two, right? So I think he's been given the opportunity to prove his worth. And I think he's proven his worth. Yeah, he's Formula One material, but no top team is going to take him as a number one driver.
Not as a number one.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
But he makes a good number two driver.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the Finnish Rubens Barrichello.
Correct. And there's talk. I know he's on the list for replacing Felipe Massa.
Who?
Heikki Kovalainen. Because of his dependability. He doesn't wreck often. He's a solid number two. And I believe he would be acceptable to Fernando Alonso, because Fernando Alonso is going to be signing off on this signing.
Well, you know, it's all about packaging of the verbiage. You are packaging the verbiage as he is a solid number two, which, you know, when you send it, when it comes, it's decoded through my modem, it becomes he's not a cage rattler.
Correct.
Of course Nando is going to like him.
You think?
Oh, yeah, of course. Si, senor.
Yeah, but Nando's already accepted the fact that, you know, he said he would drive with Vettel. He said he would have driven.
No, I'm sure he will. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But we have to have a little in-house sling and arrows, you know.
That's true. That makes it exciting.
The guy I would like to see at Ferrari would be somebody like a Romain Grosjean, who has at least 1 year experience. And the guy who was really, really... I've never been surprised so much by any driver who was... Not much was expected. And that's Sergio Perez. I would like to see one of these guys in. I mean, you can throw other names like Jules Bianchi and all that. But these people at least have some Formula One experience. And I'm going to tell you this kid, Sam Bird, he's pretty good too.
Well, Robin Fringe is pretty good too.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about him.
And yeah, I'm sure that's going to be coming up in Sports Mondial. But... What success now that he's moved to Formula Renault 3.5. So, yeah, no, that's great stuff. Quickly to talk about Felipe Massa, I want to quote, he says that he's not worried, definitely not, about Weber's comments saying, you know, Weber's come out and admitted that Ferrari spoke to him and he turned it down and decided to sign for Red Bull. He says, I'm sure more than 50 drivers call Ferrari every day. It's a big team, and most of the drivers would love to drive for Ferrari, so nothing is a problem for me. The only thing that is a problem for moi is to think about my results. That is the only thing I care about, not talks. Talks do nothing for me. The result is what I really, really think about every day, unquote. So Felipe Massa, not worried. I mean, he has turned it around. He's shooting. Well, this is, for me, the big shocker. His goal for the season, Nasser, is fifth in the Drivers' Championship.
When his teammate is fighting for the championship?
I mean, come on.
To each his own.
I mean...
No, I think where he will earn big points with Ferrari, if he can, basically, regardless of where Nando finishes, if he can take points from Vettel or Weber... in back-to-back races, you know, where Nando finishes second and let's say Weber is fourth and Massa is third, that will really help him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if he could finally stay in the top 10, qualify well, and help his teammate who's, you know, well over 100 points ahead of him, that's what he's going to have to do. But I just don't see any possibility of Felipe Massa, even with Nicolas Tott as his manager, staying in Ferrari. But you know, there's a good chance that I could see a swap. Sergio Perez goes to Ferrari, Massa goes back to Sauber.
That's where he came from, and he was very impressive at Sauber, I have
Absolutely.
To say. Yeah.
But Sauber has Ferrari engines. Felipe Massa would feel okay at Sauber because they have performed well this season for a team that's, you know, mid-pack basically behind Lotus F1. So that's my prediction of the week.
Yeah, you know, he has gone from teammate of Michael Schumacher to teammate of Kimi Raikkonen to teammate of Fernando Alonso. Maybe they should put him for a season with Lewis Hamilton and
just ruin his whole life.
That should do him in.
No, a brutal existence for sure, especially since he was that close and it all fell apart. Before we go to break, I want to talk about this is sad. The Jacarepaguá circuit in Rio will be torn down, Nasser. I know the tears are flowing.
Yeah.
Pretty sad state of affairs. This was built in 1965. We've had 10 Grand Prix there. Will you be sad when the bulldozers come out?
Yeah, you know, it was a very nice location. Has some good memories there. I remember watching the race in 1989 with Willie T. Ribbs at his house, and Il Leone, Senior Nigel Mansell, driving for Ferrari for the first time, wins the Grand Prix. And I think this was also the first race where Johnny Herbert came back from his very serious leg injuries. And I think this French guy, Philippe Streiff, also had his career ending. I believe it was at Rio. And Rio is a great city, as we all know, and Jacarepaguá, nice name. So it'll be sad to go. It's always sad to see part of motor racing history disappear. But I guess Olympics are more important.
That's true. That's true. And when I saw that, a little tear came to my eye as well. And they still have Brazilian Touring Car Championships there and a number of small races, but that will end this year, and it will be torn down.
The cats are coming.
Yep. German Grand Prix this weekend, Nasser, it's going to be exciting. The question is, who will Pastor Maldonado knock out of the race? Will Fernando come back strong? Because Ferrari's predicting that even though they lost in Silverstone, that was a strong second, and they are a powerhouse.
Well, talking of German Grand Prix, I have to say this. You know, there are some serious issues with the other ring, Nürburgring. They may file for bankruptcy. So that's a pretty sad state of affairs. And as far as the German Grand Prix is concerned, I think it's about time Sebastian Vettel wins a Formula One race in their fatherland, fatherland.
No, I agree. Schumacher has had so much success in front of the people.
Yeah, I mean, Vettel has won 22 races, but never in his country. And Mr. Schumacher has won in Germany 9 times, including 4 wins at Hockenheimring. So you're not the only one who's reading Autosport.
Really? Sacré bleu tous les jours.
But, you know, interestingly, Mr. Hamilton, he will be making his 100th Grand Prix start.
Oh, that's right. That's a big celebration this weekend. As a matter of fact, I got the email from McLaren saying, you know, the candles are going to be stacked up high on the big cake. And they're going to get somebody like Rihanna to jump out of it.
Not Nicole?
No, Nicole, she's going to be in London.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Getting ready for the Olympics.
Oh, good for her. And Ferrari, not surprisingly, has the most wins at Hockenheimring, 10, Williams second with 9, and McLaren third with 6 wins.
Wow, that's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great race. And what's good about this Hockenheim track, even though it's what they say it's the truncated track, it's still going to be an exciting race because there's a lot of overtaking at this track without DRS. So with DRS, it's going to get out of control.
Let me tell you, you know, as a sad part of the history of Hockenheimring, this is where Jim Clark was killed. And when I went there first time, you know, when you stand in this big stadium, which is very impressive, and you see all these tall pine trees going into the forest where the track, you know, goes or used to go, it makes an impact.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I like it very much.
Yeah, it's a nice area. It's a nice track. And I certainly hope that Hockenheim and Nürburgring can survive this economic downturn. But a lot of tracks have a lot of problems. I mean, Spa has had problems for years.
Yeah.
Why? We don't have a race in France.
Oh, yes.
Because of lack of funds.
And, you know, there is also a museum there. And I remember they had a... That's where I saw one of the Williams. So beautiful design, I think 96, 97. Fantastic the way the side parts go down. But they have a Michael Schumacher's, I believe it's a Jordan car they have there. And they also have a Ayrton Senna. I think it's a Formula, you know, he was not in Formula 2, has to be a Formula 3 car with his name on it. And I remember when I was there and quite a few people were stationary at that site, just like myself.
Thanks, Nas. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Motorsports Mondial after this brief message from Bassino.com.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charonne region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif, Pinot de Charonne. Opening in June 2012, Bassino offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassino is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassino.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and motor racing regards. Plus, I should say, motorcycle regards too. Today we have Masters of F3, MotoGP, Madness in Moscow, Formula 2, and your favorite series, NASCAR. We shall start with Masters of Formula 3 at Zandvoort, the Dutch seaside track. Daniel Juncadea of Spain was the man of the weekend. He is really on a hot roll in Formula F3 Euro Series. Winning from pole, last November he also won the prestigious Macau F3 race, where Marco Wittmann really got the shaft because he had the race won. There was a late caution and then everybody ganged up on him, including Felipe Nasr. And poor guy did not win, but good for Juncadea. Second was the ever-impressive young Italian Raphael Marcello, who started from the second row. Third was local boy Hannes van Asseldong, a friend of F1 Weekly. You know, I was chatting with him recently, so he is extremely thrilled to be third on home soil. Top three finishes were powered by Mercedes, and Carlos Sainz Jr. was the top Volkswagen-powered driver in fourth. Michael Lewis from Southern California was eighth. This is first F3 Masters win for the Italian Prema Power team. There was also a race in the German F3 at Spa-Francorchamps. Tom Blomqvist, who is the son of Stig Blomqvist, took his first win of the season. And it's good to see him back on top. Last year he had an injury, missed some races, so I'm glad he's back. Now, did you hear about the Moscow madness at the Formula Renault 3.5 World Series by Renault event?
I did.
There were some issues there. But our friend Robin Freins had quite a Dutch treat last weekend. First, he got to drive a Red Bull Formula One car at the new Moscow Raceway, another quality Herman Tilke production. Not so according to Alain Prost, but very much so according to Vitaly Petrov. Then on Saturday, Robin won the opening race of the weekend from pole. Very impressive for a rookie against much more experienced drivers. Jules Bianchi was second and Sam Bird third. And this is what Robin had to say after his big win.
It was a really tough race. We had the same pace, the top three, four drivers. And I had a big fight with Sorensen. I was really pushing and I did a mistake. He came by. And it was kind of sad that he spun. But we didn't touch whatsoever. He just went offline and he spun. But a bit of a shame because championship-wisely, if he was in a second, it was better for me. But okay, it happened. But anyway, it was two safety cars. Because I had a good cab afterwards, Bianchi like 3.5 seconds or so. And the pressure was back on. I thought I had a free gap to take it easy, but I didn't have one moment to take it easy in the race, so it was a tough one.
You know, it was only a few years ago, I went to the Spanish Grand Prix. I walk out, and Josef Kaufmann's team was also staying there in the same hotel. Walk out, and they're there with Robin Freins, Hannes van Asseldong, and Patrick Suvanto. Suvanto is now racing here in the U.S. Hannes is doing pretty good, but Robin is really flying high, and I think it's just a matter of time. If this kid wins this championship, this will be his third successive championship in a row, three different championships in three different years, and what will be very impressive, it will be over Jules Bianchi, Sam Bird, Kevin Corius, who is in his second year and very talented, Alexander Rossi. So very impressive performance from Mr. Robin Freins. Race 2 was won by Arthur Pieck, brother of Charles Pieck. Walter Grubmüller was second, and Kevin Corius from Estonia, we just talked about, was third, and Alexander Rossi was fifth. After the race, local driver Daniil Mauve was fined €300 for doing donuts in front of home fans. He got a little excited, and they are very proud of him at Tim Horton and Krispy Kreme.
There you go.
They also do very good donuts. GT1 News, Stefan Rattel and his organization SRO will not promote the FIA series after this season. Stefan, from your homeland, Francia, was studying in LA when he caught the racing bug. Can you believe that? His organization also promotes British F3. Actually, what he did, I was watching his interview, I think it's on the FIA GT1 website. He was studying in LA and started dealing in with some exotic cars, selling to rich people. And then all of us, you know, pretty soon he had a group of guys who had bought some racing cars, or, you know, sports cars from him. And then they asked him, why don't you organize a race for us? And one thing led to another. So now he's a big cheese in sports car racing. Good for him. IndyCar news, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. Coloni team, you know, Enzo Coloni's team, recently thrown out of GP2 for some unknown but serious breach of trust, may cross the pond and compete in IndyCar racing next season with Luca Filippi. Carlin Motorsports is also looking to add IndyCar series to its portfolio, which will be very good for the series. And, you know, Colonna team, they have not said what had happened, but I have a couple of emails out to some people in the industry. I want to find out what happened. Something very serious has gone wrong here for them to throw them out of the series. What I heard was other teams have lost the trust of this team, so they must have done something kinky, I think. What it is, I don't know. But we shall get to the bottom of this. Okay, in other F1 news, good news is Maria Di Viotta is making good progress in her recovery, which is very nice. But her team, Marussia, has ruled out the car as the cause of the crash on July 3rd. There is also an independent investigation going on, and we will see what their findings are. So this will take some time. What say you?
I was surprised Marussia came out with these findings that this quickly.
Well, they have worked with some people, and, you know, maybe it was a traveler, I don't know. But whatever it was pretty sad.
I just didn't like it because it automatically pins the blame on the driver. And,
yeah.
You know, while she's in the hospital,
and it's a lady.
Let's cut her some slack.
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently, yeah, she's doing pretty good now, and that's good. We already talked about Jacques Pagua. Oh, now we're going to talk about your favorite series, NASCAR, from Loudoun, New Hampshire. Rowdy Bush was on pole in his Toyota. Race winner was Casey Kane in his Chevrolet. Denny Hamlin was second, Clint Boyer third, and Dale Jr. was fourth. The chase to the chase is on. Matt Kenseth has got a big old jetliner lead with 707 points. Jr. is second with 691, and your favorite, Biffle. I think he's from Oregon. He is third with 667 points. Now, you know, the chase is going to be starting. It's the last 10 races. Are you ready for it?
To be honest with you, I don't understand the chase, the caution, the tire fire. All I want to know is, where's Juan Pablo Montoya? How's Danica Patrick doing? And I hope you have some news on Jacques Villeneuve and Super V8s.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty classic thing that's going on. Okay, that was the performance on the track, how they are doing on the championship. Now we have some news on prescription off the track.
Uh-oh.
You know where this is going.
I do. This is the pharmaceutical side of the company.
Exactly. Brought to you in part by
Lilly
or Merck Sharp and Dohme. Anyway, AJ Allmendinger's B-sample test will take place on July 24th in Nashville at the Aegis Analytical Labs. We all know Nashville is Music City. Let's hope he is not singing the blues when the results come out. Man, I'm really hoping, because the kid is from this area. But more importantly, he's a very good racing talent. I hope he can put this all behind him and get back on track with Captain Roger Penske.
I know you're being positive, but I hate to say this. The B sample is taken the same time as the A sample. It's just being tested by a different company.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, and that's the whole point, is if there was a mistake. But obviously you can't take a blood sample after you've been found somewhat guilty, because you could take those funny, weird flushing system, those T's, those big low T's will clean your body.
Do you think he could be the Lance Armstrong of NASCAR?
It's possible. I mean, he doesn't have 7 world championships or... Yeah. Tour de France.
Yeah, it'll be very sad if he loses his right.
It would be
time.
Very sad, but very apparently it's a stimulant,
yeah,
which could be coffee. And in America, we have a product called No Dose.
Yeah, and as Mr. Clinton used to say, America is a very forgiving country, and so they're already talking about that if his NASCAR career is over, he can come into IndyCar racing. The guy is a fabulous race car driver.
I enjoyed his open-wheel forays.
Yeah. You know, we had a little shuffle of paper here, so let me go back to World Series by Renault so we can...
Yes, there was a little shuffling.
Shuffle. Yeah. Not that do the hustle, but do the shuffle. So anyway, talking of issues in Moscow... Apparently, there was a time where there was no water, no electricity at the hotel in the area briefly. And I sent an email to Lars Kaufman, because he was there with Formula Renault 2 liters team, and he write to me in big capital letters, no water, no electricity, no joke.
Wow.
And he has, you know, every now and then complained to me that once he goes out of Germany and other European countries, which I will not name, and he's like, man, you know, these people need to have German efficiency. So I'm going to check with him, you know, if he's planning another siege of Moscow to get this thing
but I'm pretty
a little
surprised.
Bit on track.
I mean, Moscow, I mean, come on. Putin's in charge.
What does that mean?
Oh, he's tough. KGB.
Yeah. Well, things go wrong anywhere, but
no food,
track looks pretty
no
good.
No water, no electricity.
Well, we don't know all the details. We're trying to find out.
I think it may have been sabotage.
And, you know, Alexander Rossi was also racing there, and he has put together a sort of a Caterham team's, like a 2-minute, 3-minute video on him being there in Red Square and all that. And an American guy in Red Square is always interesting. So if anybody wants to watch on YouTube, they can do that. I've been to Red Square.
I've never been to Red Square. Not going to Red Square.
A lot of history there and interesting place.
Yes, there's a lot of history in Tibet, too.
Everywhere. So, but, you know, the interesting thing about the Kremlin Museum there, mm-hmm. there are all these. First of all, Mr. Lenin is lying there.
And have you seen Mr. Lenin?
I have seen him. He was kind of stiff and gave me a cold shoulder. Gee, I wonder why.
I heard his complexion looks pretty good, though.
No. He's what really surprised me, first of all, well, I had a very good feeling, inkling that he's very well preserved. I mean, he's so very well preserved. It looks like he's sleeping in a nice Italian suit and nice, you know, shoes. But what really surprised me, his size. He was a shorty. And for all the ruckus he created, that was pretty impressive for a short guy.
Really?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what was interesting. Outside his, you know, area, there are all these statues and figurines or whatever for different famous Soviet people or people who were important to the communist cause. And most of the names are in the, what is it called, the Cyrillic Russian language or whatever. And a couple of those names were in English, you know, like
Bob Newhart.
Something like that, right? Or Steve Fobb or Clark Rogers. So there was a tour guide with me. I says, who are these guys? And he goes, oh, this guy was the president of, and these were people who died in like 20s, 30s. He says, oh, this guy was president of the American Communist Party. This guy was president of the South African Communist Party. And they're, you know, final wish was to be buried in the center of communist war.
Wow.
So the question is, who loves you now, baby? But there's a lot of history there, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, is this communist editorial
propaganda? Okay, no, we're going to get back to motorsports. Okay, let's move on to Formula 2.
Okay, that was a little goodie bag right there.
That was a Davushka bag. Okay. Formula 2 at Brands Hatch. Big day for East European drivers. Kevin Miroka from Polonia won the opening race, his first victory of the series, and Mihai Marinescu won the second race. He is from the land of Dracula and Nadia, which would be Romania. So we're educational here. Top three in the championship are Luciano Bacchetta from UK, 161.5 points. Second, Christopher Zanella from Switzerland, 124 points, and third, Marinescu with 123 points. And this weekend they are racing at one of your favorite tracks in Le Castellet, which would be
Paulica.
Yeah, Paulica, located near Bondol, beautiful place by the sea.
Great
in the
wine
south.
There.
Yeah, I went to that place. It was beautiful. Very. It reminded me very much of San Diego area, San Diego beach scene. Very nice. One of the drivers competing in this series is Axel Jeffries from Zimbabwe. We were supposed to do a Skype interview this week, but he got caught up in London fog and traffic, so hopefully we will chat next week. And you know, Axel Jeffries, in the history of Formula F1 Weekly, is the first driver who contacted me to do an interview. So our reputation is...
That people contact us.
No, in terms of a racing driver himself contacting.
Okay, so, you know, Alan Prost will contact us, trust me.
The race car driver or the namesake?
One or the other.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an interesting name you bring up. Once upon a time, some years ago, I had arranged a, you know, get-together with him in Geneva, and at the last minute, they pulled the plug. And then we tried second time, he was not available, and I'm going to try third and final time when I am in his vicinity. It will be very nice to talk to him. There's a lot of history there, obviously. So we shall see. Okay, are you ready for MotoGP from Mugello?
I am.
This is near Florence, beautiful part of Italy. Spanish 1-2 with Jorge Lorenzo winning his fifth race of the season on his Yamaha, or as he says, Yamaha, over Honda hombre Danny Pedrosa. Andrea Dovizioso was third. Valentino Rossi fifth, and his Ducati teammate Nicky Hayden was the highest placed American rider in seventh. Casey Stoner was eighth. Lorenzo, who is from Mallorca, leads the championship by 19 points. And let's listen to the winner.
It's so special because the last three or four races has been so bad for us. But you know, I put everything I have on the track. Now I don't have any type of energy. It was so difficult to overtake Andrea and Casey in the heartbreaking, so I try to overtake them on the downhill, and at the end everything was fine. And I want to thank Yamaha for all the effort they put to offer me the best bike possible.
Do you watch any of the GP MotoGP races?
No, yes, I do.
You do? Do you mm-hmm. enjoy it?
I loved it last weekend, the crash on the last lap was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, they'll be here at Laguna Seca.
Exactly. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice track for MotoGP racing up and down. Okay, we shall move now to Hapetres, also known as GP3. Scottish racer Lewis Williamson will be racing in GP3 with Status GP team this weekend at Hockenheim. Not sure if this is for the rest of the season. He was recently released from Red Bull program after failing to score a point in the first five races in Formula Renault 3.5. World Rally Championship news. I know you like that series. Volkswagen will run three cars next year. Sebastian Ogier has already been confirmed as one of their drivers. And I believe you wanted to ask me about who we might see in Formula One next year among the new faces.
Exactly.
I think two people who are making a very good effort on the track and also through their management team would be Jules Bianchi. I think he's going to do another Friday practice run with Force India, and he's also contracted to Ferrari team. So I don't know if Ferrari will take him for next year. And of course, the other name in play is Esteban Gutierrez. This is his second year in GP2. Past 3 years, he has won a couple of championships in Europe. Everybody knows he is quick. And they already have one Mexican driver at Sauber. He is their reserve and test driver. So I don't know if they will have two Mexican drivers. But the team has a lot of funding from Mexico, you know, Tequila Company and Telmex and Claro, which is all part of the Carlos Slim program. So that'll be interesting. And I'm sure, you know, people like Sam Bird are also hustling to get in on the action. What do you think?
I don't know. It depends on what happens. Right now, with Mark Webber signing for Red Bull, it's very possible that we see Felipe Massa back at Ferrari next year. I don't put anything aside. If he does well for the next eight races, it would be an easier sell for Ferrari, but still, there's just not a lot of room for young drivers right now in Formula One. That's the biggest problem.
And there was also this report on certain website that if Heikki Kovalainen goes from Caterham, Alexander Rossi will slot in because he's part of the driver development program.
It's possible, but Alexander Rossi hasn't had the success that a lot of people have hoped. And I don't know, with you, when you have people like Fringe
Benefits?
Exactly. Doing an outstanding job. Sam Bird. A lot of these up-and-coming drivers, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know, one guy I would really like to see somebody give him a decent shot is Robert Wickens.
Another great driver.
Yeah.
Jukka Della is rising to the top. There's a lot of people. I mean, let's not forget Felipe Nasr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we are up to here with good young drivers coming to the scene.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. Nothing to take away from Jukka Della winning F3 Masters and Macau, great drives. But, you know, F3 series does not have the depth of competition since the GP3 was created. But when he has raced in other series where the Esteban Gutierrez's of the world were racing and other talented driver, he was competitive and good, but he was really not up to where he can beat Esteban Gutierrez on a regular basis. So that that talent needs to be tested in a more competitive environment.
Okay. And quickly, let's remind our listeners about this weekend's special interview.
Yes, sir. That is with Reine Wissel. He is from Sweden. Raced in sports car racing, Formula One, Formula Three, and one of his claims to fame, which he jokingly says he regrets, is he gave Ronnie Peterson his Formula Three license. So that's coming up this weekend, special edition. It's almost an hour long chat, and I thank him for his time. So we'll hopefully do more with more drivers.
Outstanding. Thanks, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Let's wrap it up. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email moi at f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Bye-bye.